I was raised in church, unlike a lot of people, but just like a lot of people. And you know, most churches, except the ones that are just really weird, they're going to tell you that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, how much they believe about that, yeah, I don't know. And how much they teach about the reality of who he is, but also who he was when he was here on earth. I don't know. Just a lot of different denominations and religions and so forth, they'll tell you about Jesus, but sometimes they won't even tell you about how to be born again. But they'll tell you Jesus was the Son of God. Why don't you go ahead and look over in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We wanted to just kind of take really a brief look. We're going to look at a lot of different scripture, but we're going to specifically look at some scripture that has to do with Jesus, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here in this, but in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Boy, wouldn't you like to know what she did to find favor with God? Scripture does not say. Nevertheless, the angel continued and said, verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." As I was growing up, we talked about Jesus, you know, Son of God. Okay, well, I got it, Son of God. But another thing that a lot of people talked about and still do to this day, they'll say something like, you know, Jesus, when he was down here on earth, he was all God and all man. I'm sure all of you probably heard that before. And, you know, I probably have said it along the line somewhere. But let's think about that. Jesus, he was all God and all man. Is that a possibility? Literally, is that a possibility? Is it possible to be all God and all man at the same time? Well, let's think about this. What is God? Meaning, when you talk about all God, what is that? Well, we're talking about deity, right? So therefore, we could say, based on the previous statement, we could say, well, Jesus was all deity and all man. Is that possible? Is it possible for a being to be all deity and all man at the same time? I don't see how. But you sure will ruffle a whole lot of feathers if you start saying that's not possible. And yet, when you think about deity, well, what does that mean? Quite frankly, the problem comes in when people don't fully understand the difference between deity and man. Yet they kind of do. They're confused. And see, if you're raised to believe
that Jesus was all God and all man simultaneously. That's what you're going to hold on to and believe. And if somebody comes along and says, well, that's not necessarily true, why? You're speaking blasphemy. What are you? You trying to tell me Jesus is not who he is? You tell me he's not the Son of God? Well, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is, he's not all God. When he was down here on earth, he was not all God, and he was not all man. He wasn't. Now, I'm going to use Scripture to present evidence unto you to explain my point. Start in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to be able to read lengthy passages. We're just going to hit, like, I'll say it, you know, highlight verses. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now look in Matthew 21. Matthew 21. And this is speaking here about Jesus. Matthew 21, verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. All right, now, I'm quite confident deity never gets hungry. Now let's think for a minute. We live in a world, it's a fallen world, but it was created by who? God, right? And that means that everything on this planet only came into existence after God created it, right? These aren't trick questions. That would include, you know, apples, pears, strawberries, peaches, hamburgers. I mean, all the food here on earth. It did not exist until it was created. But God existed prior to creation. Therefore, what did he eat before he created pizza? What did he eat before he created what? You follow what I'm saying? And yet what we see here in Scripture is Jesus was hungry. Well, guys, what is hunger? Now think for a minute. What is hunger? Hunger is a sign of impending death. You say, what in the world do you mean by that? Well, if you don't eat for long enough, you're going to die. And so your body is telling you, okay, yeah, I need some nourishment, I need minerals, I need vitamins, I need all this stuff, but I'm headed toward death here, okay? I'm talking about legitimate hunger, not, you know, you just want something to eat because you want something to eat. Legitimate hunger, okay? That is a sign of impending death. Now, it might take a while before the death sets in, but you guys know what I'm talking about. And it says that Jesus hungered. He was hungry. Deity does not get hungry. Now look over in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me a drink. Okay, I'm very confident that deity does not get thirsty. Okay? But here Jesus, he's asking for a drink. But not only that, it also says that he was, look here, Verse 6, wearied with his journey. I'm very confident deity does not get tired. If deity gets tired, we are in big trouble. Deity does not get tired. But Jesus was wearied from the journey. I'll tell you another thing deity doesn't need to do. It's not in here. Deity doesn't need to walk. Come on now. And deity can be everywhere at the same time. Jesus was not. Was he? No, he wasn't. Let us go from here to thence. Now, turn over to, keep your finger here in the New Testament, and turn over to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He will neither slumber nor sleep. Now turn to Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, take a look at verses 23 and 24. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Deity does not sleep. Does not need sleep. What is sleep? Sleep is the body telling you, I'm breaking down. Did you know that if you go without sleep long enough, you'll die? Sleep deprivation. You will die. Sleep is your body telling you, okay, you're going to have to just lay down, just I don't care what you do, but you need to kick back. Because I need to sleep. Your mind, how many of you, when you get really tired, your mind gets all weird? I mean, you can't think straight. Okay, that's because you are going through a process that I'll just call disconnect. You're disconnecting from your surroundings because your body is saying, I can't take any more of this. Okay, we better sleep. So here we see Jesus, he was asleep. Deity does not sleep. Now look in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. And when he, Jesus, had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now look over in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Guess what? Deity does not need to pray. To whom would deity pray? Think about it. To whom would deity pray? We're talking about, who does God pray to? Well, nobody. Because he already has all the answers and he's God. You know, why would he pray to himself? But Jesus prayed. Okay, this, and here's another part that's not in here in my notes, but I mean, the fact that Jesus prayed indicates he did not know everything. Deity knows everything. God is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, all the time, and omnipotent, all-powerful. Well, the very fact that Jesus was having to pray indicates, well, he didn't know anything. In fact, in another place he talks about how, you know, I only say what my Father tells me to say. Well, why do you need anybody to tell you what to say if you're God? If you're deity, you already know what you're supposed to say. Just say it. He says, my doctrine is not my own, but his who sent me. Well, why do you have to rely on somebody else to give you your doctrine? You should know it already. You know, I don't do anything unless, you know, I see what my Father shows me. Okay, I know I'm paraphrasing here. Well, if you're deity, you don't need that. But he wasn't deity, and therefore he was dependent upon this kind of, call it what you want, revelation or insight or whatever. He was dependent upon that from God. He needed that from his Father. Deity does not need to pray. Deity is deity. All right, look in Mark chapter 9. I'm sorry, I said Mark chapter 9, didn't I? Mark chapter 1. I apologize. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, guys, I've got news for you. Deity does not need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because deity is the Holy Spirit. Deity doesn't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet we see a special event taking place here. Look over in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Deity does not need to be anointed. Deity is the anointing. And yet, Jesus, we see right here, did not have this anointing until God anointed him. So therefore, since Jesus needed to be anointed, he had to receive that anointing from the one who is the anointing, which means Jesus was not the anointing, he was not deity. Look over in, turn to John chapter 14. I'll just throw another one out here that goes without saying. Deity does not need to breathe air. But guess what humans have to do? Breathe air. If you stop breathing air, guess what? We will have your funeral or your memorial service. Breathing air is critical. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. If Jesus, now listen closely to this one. If Jesus were 100% deity, it would be impossible for us to do his works no matter how hard we believe. If he were 100% deity, you say, well, now he said, all right, now hold on. What has deity done? Deity has created a universe, right? Come on now. Deity's created a universe. Deity created planets. Deity created stars. Deity created water, plants, trees, birds, fish, billy goats. Deity created everything. If Jesus were 100% deity, we could not do the works of Jesus because we're not deity. No matter how much we believe, we could not do his works if he were 100% deity. Therefore, the works he's talking about, now this one, the works he's talking about do not require the individual to first be deity. Now let that one sink in. What you need is the anointing that comes from deity. And then you can do those works, which would include raising the dead. You don't have to be deity to raise the physical dead. The spiritual dead, yeah, you got to be deity. But you don't have to raise the dead, or to be deity to raise the dead. See, this is where you start getting into this, like, what? I never thought of it like that, but okay, I kind of see. I mean, This is where your mind starts doing flip-flops. And for a lot of people who have been raised and constantly told Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. Okay, you hear it and you think, yeah, praise God. You know, he was a son of God. Says so. Angel said so. And you just accept that and you believe it. And it is a tradition that is not scriptural. Now, I'm telling you, you and I both know there are a lot of Christians out there who will get very upset at hearing that. But it's true. Again, this verse right here. Believe on me, the works I do, you shall do also. Well, 100% deity can create a universe. I can't create a universe. Neither, in fact, I can't even create dogs. I can plant seed, but I can't create the plant that produces the seed. You follow what I'm saying? I can't do that, no matter how much I pray. No matter how much I believe, I cannot replicate the works of deity, but I can do the works of Jesus. Interesting. Now look over in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In fact, I'll tell you what. On your way to James, stop in Hebrews. Hebrews. And in Hebrews, let's take a look here at chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay? Jesus was tempted like as we are. Has anybody in here ever been tempted to sin? Yes. He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he was tempted to sin, but he resisted and he said no. Now turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 13. Look here. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God can't be tempted with evil. He can't. What? You know, what woman on earth could tempt God to do something immoral? But there are a lot of women on earth that could have tempted Jesus. He was tempted like as we are. And we could stand here for another hour, talk about all different kinds of sins and things that Jesus could have been tempted to do. He was tempted like as we are. In the same way that we are tempted, he was tempted. Yet without sin. Well, that's really interesting. Because it says here that deity cannot be tempted. God cannot be tempted with evil. He cannot be tempted to sin. He can't. It's impossible. Our minds cannot relate to that. How can it be impossible to be tempted? And God is saying, well, when you're God, you can. I mean, that's just the way it is. When you're deity, that's how you exist. But Jesus was tempted. And since deity, since God cannot be tempted, that means Jesus was not 100% God when he was here on earth. I'm not saying he wasn't the Son of God. I'm saying he wasn't 100% God. He couldn't have been. And yet he was tempted. Because, I mean, all this we're seeing here. Now look over in Galatians chapter 4. This is so challenging for a lot of people, and this is a doctrinal root that goes so deep. Part of the problem here with this is if you believe, if you've been raised to believe that Jesus was 100% God, while he was here on earth, there's no way that you could ever relate to him. There's no way. There's no way that he could be our example. It's impossible. Because you and I, we're not deity, we never will be deity, and therefore we can't do deity things. You know what I'm saying here? So therefore, if Jesus was 100% God, forget it. Why should I even try? Because I can't be deity. I can't measure up to that. Well, here in Galatians chapter 4, and there's a lot that we could read here in this chapter and talk about, we just can't. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Made of a woman. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. What you see right here is the connection between Jesus being the Son of God and Jesus being human, made of a woman. Say it like this, or think of it like this. Mary contributed the physical everything for a body. In fact, there's another place where it talks about Jesus said, you know, a body thou hast prepared for me. Mary contributed all of the physical stuff necessary for Jesus to exist here on the earth. And God gave Jesus his life. God imparted life unto Jesus. So right then, somebody could say, well, then he was God. He was 100% God. All right, I'm going to ask you a question now. Is God in this room? I know you can't see him, but is God in this room? Well, yeah, God's in this room. Okay. Then why would God need a body? I mean, if God intends to be someplace, why would he need a body? And yet, here it is, made of a woman. He needed to, we're going to see this more clearly here in just a few minutes. He needed to function as a human. Okay, now look over in Philippians chapter 2. And hopefully this will, you know, bring some clarity. We've covered this part before. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm not going to take the time to go into great detail breaking down all of these words like I have in the past. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mindset, this thought process, this way of thinking be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Meaning, think like Jesus thought. And now I'm going to give you a little bit of an insight as to how Jesus thought. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, why didn't he think it robbery or a diminishing or an insult or blasphemy to consider himself to be equal with God? Because, verse 6 again, who, being a constant state of existence, I'm not giving you all the Greek words here, being a constant state of existence in the form of, in the literal existence of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, I guess not, because if you're in the constant state of existence as the literal reality of Almighty God, then it can't be robbery to consider yourself equal with God. But, here it is, verse 7, made himself of no reputation, that phrase of no reputation, it means to empty one's self of all self-reliant power. The key is all self-reliant power. See, God created everything because of his self-reliant power, meaning power that exists within who he is. That's how he could create everything. But here it tells us that Jesus made himself of no reputation or emptied himself of all self-reliant power. Okay, now the question would be, well, how did he do that? The answer is, I have no idea. I just know he did it. How in the world he did it, I don't know. I'm not even sure there's a clear explanation of that one here in Scripture. I'm not even sure God would try to put an explanation of that one in Scripture. There are some things our human minds just won't comprehend. But he made himself, emptied himself of all self-reliant power and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Okay? What this means is he took upon himself, where it says made in the likeness of men, that means he was born with a flesh body like all other human beings, and on the outside it looked like his point of origin was 100% human. Because, well, after all, God doesn't have a body. Even the people back then knew that. That's why they had a hard time comprehending Jesus as being the Messiah. Which is interesting, because what did they expect? What did they think he would look like? I'm not even sure they knew what they thought a Messiah would look like. But nevertheless, this is saying that he was made of a woman, or made in the likeness of men. He looked like he was a descendant, 100% descendant of a human man. And being found in fashion as a man. Meaning, when it says as a man, it means that he was in the fashion, the looks, I mean, everything about him looked as a man looks. But spiritually, he did not receive his existence from a human. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Okay, what does that mean? He humbled himself. Well, he humbled himself to cease existing as the verse 6 form of God, to come into existence as a human being with a flesh body, susceptible to all the stuff that humans encounter, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, again, to keep this short, Jesus died two deaths. He died spiritually. That's a whole other sermon. How did he die spiritually? Okay, he came into existence with the life and nature of Almighty God, okay? He had that life in him, that spirit, that nature in him. But there he was on the cross, and it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In another place it talks about how that he was made to be sin for us, even though he didn't know sin, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made to be sin. Literally, he was made our sin. In other words, he died spiritually, or he took upon himself our spiritual death. He became our sin. It wasn't just that our sin was laid upon him. He became our sin, and he died spiritually from that perspective, but he also died physically. I mean, obviously, he died on the cross. Now, it says that God, because of this, because of his willingness to do this, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So here we see that even though Jesus had the physical being of a human, spiritually, he was the Son of God. Okay, well, somebody can come back and say, I hear everything you said so far tonight, and, you know, but it seems like this is contradicting what you were talking earlier about, you know, deity doesn't need to sleep, and deity, it can't contradict it. I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't have a hungry, tired, thirsty, sleepy deity and still be God. You follow this? Now look over in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. The key in this is the concept that Jesus was totally God, 100% deity. See, that's the key. And that's what a lot of people say. But that's wrong. Are you saying he wasn't God in the flesh? Well, no. What I'm saying is he wasn't deity in the flesh. See, we come up with a whole lot of terms that we don't even think about what we're saying. Now, in John chapter 10, look here in verse 30. I and my Father are one. So somebody could pull that one out and say, well, how are you going to handle that one, Brother Martin? I mean, right there it says, Jesus, you know, I and my Father are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, okay? There it is. He was God, totally 100% God. All right, we'll look over in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. All right, now stop right there. You just read to me over there in John chapter 10, verse 30, where Jesus said, my Father and I are one. I and my Father are one. And you said that proves that Jesus was 100% deity. However, now we see Jesus, the one that we call deity, praying and saying, Father, I want everybody who believes in me that they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Well, then, based on your logic, that means we're all deity. You see this? I've got news for you. I'm not. Kathy will be the first to tell you. And you're not either. We're not deity. So this oneness that he's talking about cannot be from a deity perspective. It's got to be from some other perspective. Well, look here. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou loved me before the foundation of the world. Okay, he says that they may also, that they also, whom you've given to me, be with me where I am. Not where I will be. Where was he at this moment? He was on earth. But he was one with the Father. I in you, you in me. That they may be where I am. Well, where are you, Jesus? I'm in the Father. No, you're here on earth. That's what you see. What you don't know is that outside of this flesh thing you're looking at, spiritually, I'm one with my Father. And I want you to be one with me, with the Father. I want you to be where I am. Where was he? He was on earth with the life of the Father in a human body as the Son of God. Not as deity, but as the Son of God. Well, you can't be the Son of God unless you're deity. What? I said you can't be the Son of God unless you're deity. All right, turn over to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, there's no way we have time to go through this entire chapter. So we're just going to skip a rock through it. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. What does that mean? Well, we've already established the fact that Jesus emptied himself of all self-reliant power and became dependent upon somebody else, became dependent upon God to anoint him with the Holy Ghost and power. And it says, you know, the law, okay, what was it the law couldn't do? Well, it could not take away the sin nature in humanity. The law was weak through the flesh, but God sent his own Son in the likeness of what? Not in the likeness of flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, God sent his Son down here, and when Jesus was down here in the flesh, he looked like everybody else in the flesh who had a sin nature. But he did not have a sin nature. He had the life of God on the inside of him, and while he was in the flesh, he condemned sin. Well, how in the world did he condemn sin while being in the flesh? He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Out of the power of God's life in him, being a Son of God, the Son of God at that time, he was able to encounter every temptation and say, no, 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 no. Out of the power of the Father's life in me, sin, I condemn you, and I tell you, you do not have power over me. In fact, I'll give you a heads up. You're not going to have power over anybody who has the life of the Father in them the way I have the life of the Father in me. You won't be able to make anybody do anything unless you can get their cooperation. Otherwise, they are going to be free from you. Well, that's what he says here, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 2. Well, then you jump on down to verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, which is it, Spirit of God or Spirit of Christ? Notice, it sounds confusing. What he's trying to get you to understand is that the life of God, he's not talking the Holy Ghost here, that the life, the Spirit, the nature of God that was in Messiah Jesus Christ here on earth is the same life, nature, Spirit that we receive when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's what makes us a child of God. He says, look, you're not in the flesh. You're not in sinful flesh. You're not sinful in the flesh. You're not a fleshly sinful person, but you're in the Spirit. If so be that the new nature, the born-again life, the living Spirit of God is in you, and if anybody does not have this Spirit, which was the same life, nature, and Spirit that Jesus had when he was on earth, well, then you're not, you don't have any part with God. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, your Spirit, he's talking about your Spirit, is life. What kind of life? The life of the Father. Because of righteousness. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he says in verse 11, but if the Spirit of him, this is not the Holy Ghost, this is the life, the nature. See, look, the power of God's life overpowers death. And he says, if the Spirit, the life, the nature of God, of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit, life, nature that dwells in you. In other words, he's saying, look, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he released his life and nature in him. And this is, man, you're going to get Christians going bonkers on this one. You're preaching a born-again Jesus. Heresy. The Bible talks about Jesus was the first born from the dead. Well, excuse me, people in the Old Testament were raised from the dead. He was the firstborn of many brethren. That means God used Jesus as the prototype of what it means to pass from spiritual life to spiritual death. And so he raised Jesus from that death. And then that life of Jesus was, when Jesus was raised from that spiritual death, it was released back into his body. And then the body was raised, glorified. That body was raised, glorified. But what's interesting is that, see my hands? See my side? You got anything to eat? He had a glorified body. Okay, that's another one. Don't start asking me a lot of questions about all that because I do not have good answers for that. But then if you look here in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That doesn't mean if you're led by the Holy Ghost. What it means is if you are led or if you have God's life, his Spirit, his nature alive on the inside of you, then you are a child of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, now this is the first time the Holy Spirit is referenced in Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit, our born-again spirit, that we are the children of God. When it comes to our existence here on earth, we have, you can call it the Spirit of God. You can call it the Spirit of Christ. We're not talking Holy Ghost. We're talking new nature. We're talking born-again spirit. We have in us the same thing Jesus had in him. We do not, we never had any self-reliant power. So we didn't have to empty ourselves of it and become totally dependent upon another. Okay? We're born again totally dependent upon another. We're totally dependent upon him for anointing, for power, so on and so forth. And we have in us the same life that Jesus had when he was here on earth. This is one of the reasons Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do also. Meaning the potential for this is in you because you believed on me to be born again and to pass from spiritual life, or from spiritual death to spiritual life. Now we'll close with one more passage. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In the same way that Jesus lived on earth with the life of the Father in a human flesh body, that's how we exist now. Do you know that there are some people who teach that if Jesus had not submitted to death on the cross, he would never have died? Yeah. Boy, he had a super body. It's like, well, now wait a minute. He couldn't have had a super body. He was hungry, he was tired, he was thirsty. And, you know, when you start, okay, look, I don't want to get too many people upset, but have you ever known a child that never stubbed its toe? Have you ever seen a child that went running through somewhere and, you know, didn't bump his head on something? Are you following what I'm saying? Do you honestly believe that Jesus never had a mishap when he was a child? Okay, here's one for you. Do you realize Mary had to change Jesus' diapers? Oh, Brother Martin. Oh, that's terrible, Brother Martin. No, the point I'm trying to make in is he lived like us to be the example for us so he could turn around and say, you can't come to me and tell me I don't understand, because I do. I know what it's... I've been asked the question before, do you think Jesus ever got sick? And I'll go so far as to say this. I'll guarantee you somewhere along the line he felt the symptoms of sickness trying to attack his body. Now, he may have fought it off and never, you know, fully had the flu or, you know, whatever. But the symptoms were there. Look, do you realize temptation, how many times in your own life have you felt the symptoms of, I don't know, call it the flu, call it a cold, call it whatever, and you say something just plain old silly like, well, I'm coming down with a cold. Seriously? Is that what you want to do? Oh, I can feel it. I've had this feeling before. I'm getting the flu. I'm getting sick. I'm sorry, Brother Martin, I won't be at church on Sunday. Why not? Well, I think I'm going to be sick. But it's only Monday. I know, but... See, Jesus faced human situations so that he could stand before us and say, look, you have my life in you. And what you read about me in the New Testament, this is what you can do. This is how you can live. And if there ever comes a day where you need to walk on water, that can happen. Oh, Brother Martin, that's too far out. I didn't say you're going to go out here and do it, but if it comes up to be a need, I mean, if there's a situation to where you have to, somehow that can happen. Remember the story of Philip and the eunuch? Remember? He baptized him, and when the eunuch came up out of the water, Philip was gone. Because the Holy Spirit said, okay, we don't have time to put you in a chariot. I need you over here now. And so the Holy Spirit, whoosh. I mean, you know, talk about getting beamed up. I mean, he was gone, man, and ended up over in this other place. All right, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. Who's the last Adam? What? Jesus. Why is he referred to as the last Adam? Because he had to experience the same thing the first Adam did. Well, what was wrong with the first Adam? Well, he was... Hey, truth of the matter is, the first Adam had a little bit of an advantage over the last Adam. Well, how do you figure that? The first Adam was living in a perfect body. No sickness, no disease, not a perfect body. And yet, he had the life and nature of God on the inside, coupled with a will. And out of that perfect body and that life and nature of God on the inside, he used his will and said, I shall eat. And he ate, and we know the rest of the story. Jesus is referred to as the last Adam because he had to face the same kind of challenges. In fact, he actually faced, you know, even more. But he had to face challenges like the first Adam, meaning for him to be our Redeemer, he couldn't be 100% deity. He had to be like us. Otherwise, it wouldn't have counted. Deity can't die for itself. You see what I'm getting at? He had to be like us. That's the only way he could have been the final sacrifice. That's it. The only way. I am a human being, flesh body. I have a will. I have a personality. But I also have the non-deified life of God in me. Meaning I'm not deity. But I have his life inside me. I am, now if you're born again, same thing for you. All of you here, listening, whatever. If you're born again, you have this flesh body. You get hungry, you get tired, you get thirsty, all that. But you have the life and the nature of God inside you. From that perspective, you have equality with Jesus. Now, wait a minute, Brother Martin, you're going just a bit too far. Wait, doesn't the Bible say that we are seated with him in heavenly places? Absolutely. God's not saying we are equal messiahs, equal Christs. We are equal in life. Jesus was not 100% deity, but he was, I'll say it this way, God's life in human flesh. And that's what we are. We cannot do deity works, but we can do the works of Jesus because God's life in us will be empowered by deity power that he releases to us. And we shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And we shall cast out devils. Do you understand this? So the question, you know, was Jesus deity or human? He was human with the life of God. Just as we are. We are raised to newness of life. Praise God. Praise God. And thank God Jesus was not 100% deity here on earth. Otherwise, there'd be no way that we could relate to him. There'd be no way that he could truly be our example. There'd be no way that we could justify going to the throne of grace because he was deity. What good is it going to do me to come to the throne of grace? I'm never going to be deity. So what kind of help is there for me? He was not 100% deity. He was not 100% God. But he was the Son of God. And now, for those of us who are born again, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit, you are the children of God. Praise the Lord.